danger in these woods. Nelson's come back for revenge.
Remember to keep an eye out for Trevor Morehouse. We're playing in his backyard.
You loser! You scared the shit out of me!
Your toes are beautiful. Thanks.
Of course, this is so obvious. We're at a sleepover camp. Naturally, the killer had to be Jason. One guy I pissed off this summer had to be a psychotic killer named Jason, no less.
Hi, Julie. I went down to the lake for a swim. Come join me.
Come on, you want to see my new J-Ton hockey mask?
Oh, sorry. What am I thinking?
Hi, this is Larry Zerner from Friday the 13th, Part 3, and you're listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are, and welcome back to The Hysteria Continues, this momentous event of a show where we finally get round to one of the classics of the subgenre, Bloody Murder. So if you'll take a little moment to reflect on, the gravitas of the situation. This is episode 77, and we will be covering that classic a little bit later, and we'll be hearing from BTK, who chose it for us. So we would like to say with all our hearts, thank you so, so, so much for choosing this. It's been a life-changing experience for us all. Eric, have you recovered yet?
Between this and watching Night of Horror last week or the week before, I mean, it just doesn't get better than this. I'm really living the high life.
Yes, yes, yeah. I can understand. And Nathan, have you been able to recover?
Oh, yes. As you know, I'm able to enjoy a wide variety of film.
Yes, that's putting it politely, isn't it? Yes.
Yes.
And Joseph, do you think you will ever recover?
Well, I would have this morning, but Dunkin' Donuts did not have my coffee.
Yes. Well, it's been...
I'm very, very upset right now.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well, we're going to take a moment to reflect. But we'll
but
be
your
hearing.
Toes are beautiful.
Yes. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, it had to happen at some point. Bloody Murder is on the agenda. That stunning classic of the subgenre will be coming up later. And BTK, who chose it, and we thank him from the bottom of our hearts, will be with us. Well, not with us, but with us in clip a little bit later to tell us about the film and also a bit of background to the film. So if you can wait... for that, please do. Please stick around. It will be something to remember and tell your grandchildren. So, first up, before we do that, we're just going to go in time honor tradition to talk about what we've been watching recently. So, I'm going to start with Joseph. How are you, and what have you been watching?
I'm good. Haven't been watching much, but I have been watching a few short films because I'm trying to prep up for shooting a short film. But I know you've watched this, Justin and Nathan. I'm not sure about Eric, but I watched the Little Witch, which is basically the story of the father putting his daughter to bed, and she says, "Daddy, there's some." She is.
You're gonna spoil it, are you?
Well, she tells him to check under the bed for monsters, and that's basically the premise of the short story. It's about 2 minutes long, and it's pretty good. The other one I saw is The Lights Off, where the woman's in the apartment, and every time she turns the light off, she sees this weird shadow, and I won't spoil any more of that, but I really like both of these little short films, and it's really got me kind of, you know, itching to kind of make a short film of my own. We're going to make a couple, but I'm really kind of jonesing to do it now after watching these. These are pretty good.
And certainly aren't they, I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, certainly better than anything on the ABCs of Death.
Hmm. Isn't it, they're kind of based on, or aren't they, these kind of the two-line horror stories, aren't they?
Yeah, like basically someone, you know, tells like a story that's like a few sentences long, and they've just expanded this into like a 2 to 3 minute little short story. And they're really good. They're really well made. Mm. And yeah, just search for a Lights Off short film or The Little Witch short film.
I think
film.
It's Lights Out.
I thought it was Lights Off, but just search for either one.
Yeah, you'll find them.
Yeah.
Yes, Eric, have you had the pleasure?
No, I saw you all sharing them on Facebook, but I didn't get around to watching them because it's been quite a hectic week. No time for even watching Corey Feldman movies at work today, or this week.
Oh, blimey.
That's how busy it's been.
They're only 2 minutes long.
I feel your
pain. I know, but even 2 minutes was too much for my hectic schedule.
Well, yes. I think we can all say that we very much appreciate you taking the time to watch Bloody Murder. Then, yeah. If you manage to squeeze that in.
Well, I don't want to preempt what I want to say about Bloody Murder, but I think Bloody Murder is better than anything in ABCs of Death as well.
Okay.
Oh, I would agree. Well,
controversial.
It depends on which story.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll come on to that. Well, not literally, but Joseph, have you got anything else you want to tell us about?
No, that's pretty much it. I've just been very busy, so that's pretty much all I've had a chance to watch recently. So.
Okay, right. Okay, thank you. Nathan, how about you?
Well, aside from the short films, I also watched Silence of the Lambs and Red Dragon. And I think I mentioned Silence of the Lambs last time.
Yeah, I think you did, yeah.
But I watched Red Dragon this time, the prequel. So, I mean, I like the movies. I think they're actually really good, and, you know, they're pretty suspenseful, you know, and they, you know, obviously good acting, of course. Now, I want to know what your guys' opinion, though, is of basically the series, like, you know, Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon, Hannibal. I'm not a big fan of Hannibal, but...
I think Hannibal's my favorite.
I don't really like it. I think it's so long and plodding.
I don't really remember Red Dragon all that well, and I think Silence is a little overrated.
I don't think I saw Red Dragon. I've seen Manhunter, though, which I really liked.
Yeah, Manhunter's really good.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Mm. And I liked Silence of the Lambs, but I haven't seen the full film since it came out in the cinemas in 1991. So
I think I like Hannibal a lot because it really reminds me of a giallo. It's so like gory and out, you know, over the top and kind of gothic, and it's like humor, like dark humor and stuff to it. And I love the brain eating scene is really well done. I think
it's very. I thought that was really ridiculous for a big budget Hollywood movie. Not ridiculous, but it was very unexpected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What bothers me is maybe if it was a standalone movie, but for some reason, being a follow-up to Silence of the Lambs, I thought they, I don't know, a lot of stuff just seemed, it was a whole different tone, I guess.
What was the prequel called again? The early days of Hannibal, that movie.
Hannibal Rising. I wasn't a fan of it either.
I thought that was all right. I mean, I got bad reviews. I thought it was decent enough.
Hmm.
Certainly watchable for one watch.
Well, Hannibal's got, because it has got that, isn't it partly set in Rome? And it has got that giallo feel, isn't it? Because it's got Giancarlo Gianni, who was in Black Belly of the Tarantula, and I think he plays a detective in that. So it's definitely got that feel to it. I haven't seen it for a long, long, long time, but it's got Julianne Moore in it as well, isn't it? Who does turn up in, well, obviously most recently in the Carrie remake, but she was for a long time rumoured to have been in the fictitious Slaughterhouse 2. I like the films. They're not films I revisit very often, but I do remember seeing Silence of the Lambs at the cinema back when it came out, it being quite the cause célèbre, as it were, at the time. But yeah, it's a good little film, or good big film, I kind of guess. Excellent. Okay,
that's it.
Right, this may be actually our shortest show, perhaps. Do we think
possibly?
Very
possibly. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see. But Eric, what have you been watching?
Okay, well, I watched Black Sabbath, and this is the 1963 Mario Bava anthology movie, not an Ozzy Osbourne concert movie.
Yes.
This was actually my first time watching the American edit of the film. Up until this point, I'd only ever seen the European cut, which is quite different because the American edit rearranges the order of the stories, but also changes the entire tone of one of the stories in particular, the one called The Telephone, where it in the Italian version, it's all about a lesbian affair that's gone sour, whereas in the American version, all references to the lesbian affair have been removed and a supernatural element is added, you know, just by redubbing it. So it was interesting to watch that, and there's actually a terrific featurette on the Arrow Blu-ray where they do a side-by-side comparison of the two different versions, so you get to see exactly what was changed and how they managed to manipulate the footage to completely sort of change the tone of the story. My favourite episode of that anthology is still The Drop of Water, which I think is fantastic and has one of the most creepy, ghostly female villains ever. You know, I think I've said this before, it reminded me of a very sort of early 60s version of The Grudge. I don't know if you can remember The Drop of Water, Justin, from Black Sabbath.
Well, it's got the scary looking lady, the one that sits up in bed looking like Toya.
Yeah. Looking like who? Did you say Toya?
I might have done.
Well, why don't you just go back and drink that trolley full of wine that you bought this morning, Alco?
I already explained that wasn't my trolley of wine. There was just, we got up, I was up with the larks, and we went to the supermarket, and there was, they were putting out all of the that day's supplies, and there's a big trolley of wine, so we thought it'd be funny to post by it. But that wasn't mine.
Just a couple of sides. Eric, you mentioned The Grudge. Do you know that Sam Raimi is in talks to remake that?
Again,
yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. And Nathan, you were right. It's called Lights Out, and you can search for it by searching for Lights Out. It's the Who's There Film Challenge of 2013. So.
And there's a lot of films on there. I haven't got to watch all of them yet, but
yeah,
there's a lot of
these films. Are really good if you got a couple minutes to spare. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And Eric, anything else?
Well, yeah, speaking of big trolleys of wine, drinking a big trolley of wine would certainly enhance your enjoyment of the other film I watched this week, Rats, Night of Terror.
Oh, yes.
Which is one of my absolute favourite Euro-trash movies of the 80s. It's Bruno Mattei. It's a kind of a delirious post-apocalyptic stroke nature runs amok hybrid. You have these typical Italian post-apocalyptic punk type figures being harassed by man-eating rats, but of course, being low budget, the special effects aren't terribly special at all. I think they famously got guinea pigs and painted them black to make them look like rats, and there's also a sequence where lots of plastic rats are sort of rolled out on a conveyor belt with not very, you know, realistic consequences on screen. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The dialogue is deliriously silly, bad dubbing. And it's just a hoot from start to finish. It has one of the great final shots of any Italian movie ever. Of any movie ever, even.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love the last shot of that. It's kind of rivals the kind of reveals of, you know, the finding the Empire State Building at the end of Planet of the Apes, yeah. Doesn't it, really?
Yeah, or the end of Sleepaway Camp where yes. Angela has a winkle.
Yes, yes, no, that's a great film.
It was the Statue of Liberty, sorry.
Oh, was it? What did I say?
The Empire State Building.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
All right, I didn't even notice you got it wrong, sorry. Yeah.
But,
potato, yeah. Potato, they're all the same.
Yeah, I've never even seen that movie, so...
What? Which one? Rats, Planet Night of Terror?
No, Planet of the Apes.
Have you not?
No, I've just never been interested, I guess. Although I am interested in Black Sabbath, I haven't seen that either.
Oh yeah, you should see that. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Cool. Oh well, thank you, Eric. Is anything else, or have you been? Your time's been quite stretched, hasn't it?
Yeah, kind of stretched this week, but it'll all be over on Tuesday evening.
All right. Okay. There's a couple of things that I've watched in the last couple of weeks. I think we probably discussed this because it's one of Joseph's favourite subgenres or whatever is the found footage. But it's the Rennie Harlin Dyatlov Pass Incident.
Yeah, I talked about that a long time ago.
What?
Yeah, on the show. It's Dyatlov Pass.
Incident.
Or incident, yeah.
Oh, sorry, but yes,
it's
yes.
The
yes.
Dyatlov Pass is where it's set. Yeah.
Yes, or I think it wasn't released in America as Devil's Pass.
Yes,
because they probably thought Americans couldn't pronounce it, and I can't pronounce the Dyatlov's Pass either. So, yeah, that was it was quite. Do you know about this film, Eric and Nathan?
I just know of the title. That's all.
Right.
I've seen I've seen it on Netflix, but I haven't watched it yet.
Right. Well, it's kind of basically in a very short summary. It's a real life. Story going back in the, I think it was in the 30s, was it, or the 50s? No, 50s. And 12 or about a dozen young Russian hikers went missing, and they found them all dead, and they'd all fled their camp in their kind of undergarments and frozen to death. And there was all these theories about what had caused that. So basically, this is in modern day, and it's a found footage. It's a group of young American students go out to try and find out what happened to them. And obviously it doesn't end well. So it's kind of, it's exactly what you think it would be like. But then it goes off in a complete tangent, probably about the 2/3 of the way through, when you actually find out what has been stalking them and why, you know, what caused all the problems in the first place. And it does some interesting things, but it also does some very generic things. And it's directed by Rennie Harlin, who's probably best known for what sort of, Friday
13th,
no,
two. Sorry,
Die Hard 2 and Nightmare on Elm Street. Four, yeah. Was it? Or three?
Four. And Exorcist the Beginning.
Yes. So German director, and it's also actually featuring, they're although it's an American cast, it's, the characters are American, they're actually all British, and it's got Gemma Atkinson, who's a famous kind of tabloid fodder from Britain in it, playing a bit of a strumpet. So it's all right. Well, did you like it, Joseph? I can't remember.
I thought it was interesting, some of the things they did, but it just, the explanation at the end was just too far-fetched for even for me.
Yeah.
And I just didn't really care much for the ending, and I think some of the CGI was really abysmal.
Yeah, it was,
and
also,
and Rennie Harlan was such a weird choice to direct a found footage film.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, I watched some of the background on it, and he was talking about it as if it was, you know, you quite often get some of these established directors, when they start doing these things, they think they've reinvented the wheel, and they somehow found this brand new way of telling a story, and in fact it's already been done for, like, you know, 15, 20 years since Blair Witch Project. It's not really new. But I also thought it was a bit distasteful, in so much they used loads of photos all the way through it of the real dead bodies of from the original incident.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a bit of a weird choice, because it wasn't a serious look at any of this, was it, really? It was actually, by the end of it, it was really quite silly.
It's like they took the whole story and they ran with it for, like, the first hour and a half, and then the last 10 minutes is like they just kind of, you know, they wrote some kind of weird, kind of bizarre thing into it to tack onto it.
I mean, it's a clever twist, and I won't spoil it here if you watch it, but it's the actual explanation itself is quite clever, but the realization of it isn't quite as good as it should have been. But that was one film. But one film I did see, actually saw at cinema a week ago, which I thought was very, very good indeed, was Under the Skin, which is the new Scarlett Johansson movie set in Glasgow. And it's a very strange film. It's not like an art house cinema I saw it, but I thought it was really, really good. It was very disturbing, very hypnotic, and very, it's kind of hypnotically boring, I kind of guess is a way to describe it. But it's shot in a kind of real, basically the story is of an alien or a group of aliens who come down to Earth, and they take on human form. And the woman, played by Scarlett Johansson, just basically goes around the streets of Glasgow picking up men and taking them back with a promise of sex, and then eating them, basically. The aliens are using people as food. So there's that whole thing. But what's really bizarre about it is it's kind of shot in that kind of, really grimy, kind of gritty, kind of documentary style almost. And a lot of the people in it, the men that she picks up, she actually drove around with the crew in the van behind, and she's wearing this dark wig. Most of the men she picks up are actually not actors, and so they think they're going to be having sex with this beautiful woman, and none of them twigged that it was her. And then they got them to, some of them, they actually got them, actually, they got them to sign a waiver. And what will probably keep out on the multiplexes was the fact is that Scarlett Johansson is fully naked for lots of the movie, which will probably please a lot of people. But also a lot of the men they get who weren't actors, when she brings them in, there's this kind of bizarre kind of scenario of how they show her eating them, and you don't actually really see it exactly. It's very much a kind of like almost like one of those weird 1970s sci-fi movies where it's all very strange, is that they're coming fully naked with an erection, you know, for real, and walking towards her, and then they kind of go under this black water, and then strange things happen. But I thought it was a wonderful film. It's really divisive. A lot of people didn't like it, and it's not a mainstream film at all, but I thought it was hypnotic, very sinister, and very, very well done.
I want to see this now. It sounds
me too.
Cool.
Yeah, I friends of mine have recommended it to me. It sounds really interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's worth seeing on a big screen. Definitely. It's funny, the people we had one of those questionnaires. You know, you used to get. I mean, I've never had one before, but you hear about them, where you have questionnaires at test screenings. But we actually had a questionnaire when we went to see this, even though it's on general release, and it was interesting. All the things that you had to fill in, half of it. And then you had to fill in this at the beginning, the last half after you've seen the film. And the people I was with were saying that they thought it was excellent, but didn't want to see it again, never wanted to see it again. It's kind of the kind of weird film like that. It's kind of, so yeah. It'd be interesting to hear what you think.
Would you like to see it again?
I think so. Yeah, it was kind of, it just got a really, really unsettling sort of feel to it. It just feels, because it's the way, basically, in the book, it's quite different from, it's based on the book, but the book's a kind of a, analogy, or whatever that's the right word, of basically the way we treat farmed animals, and it's kind of basically how the aliens are using people as meat, but they've got no compassion or interest in their welfare at all. It's just about, it's very much a kind of, you know, they're just doing it as a job, almost. And there's a really chilling scene on the beach where she watches this tragedy unfold, which leaves this very small child sat on the beach alone, screaming. And her and her compatriot just ignore the baby completely. And you never find out what happens to the baby. So it's kind of things like that. It's kind of very odd, and it ends in a very quite tragic kind of way, I kind of guess. But yeah. I think it's being released
over here April 4th, so okay. I don't know if they'll actually release it like to everywhere, but if they do, I'll go check it out.
Yeah, I definitely recommend. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great, but I think it would divide opinion. I think a lot of people would really, really hate it. But if you've got a taste for the weird, then it's worth watching. And also, if you've got a taste for Scarlett Johansson, and she is naked, fully naked, yes, for a lot of it. So
I thought as much.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's me kind of pretty much done, I think, on the kind of recently seen. So I think, without further ado, are we going to get on to the main, I would say attraction, that's probably not the right word, is it? But the main feature, perhaps. Should we play the trailer for Bloody Murder? And after that, we have got BTK, who chose this very kindly, gave some money towards the night before Easter. Actually, before we do that, do you want to tell us a little bit about where you're up to? Because I think you've almost finished yourself off, haven't you?
Yes. The movie will be completely done, scored, sound, editing, everything, on Friday, the 28th of this month. So,
wow.
You guys will get to see it early, and a few other people will get to see it early. So,
excellent. Yay. Yes, well, thank you. And BTK and all the kind people who donated helped make this possible. So after this break with the trailer, we'll come back and BTK will introduce us to the masterpiece that is Bloody Murder.
Trevor Morehouse. The guy's legendary in these parts.
Bullshit. It's camp lore. There's no such person as Trevor Morehouse.
Who's Trevor Morehouse?
Camp Boogeyman.
Look, my older sister swears she knows someone whose brother's friend disappeared up here.
What is this, 6 degrees of mutilation?
Oh, anybody want to play Bloody Murder?
Sounds fun. Let's play.
It always helps to know who you're looking for. And you guys, remember to keep an eye out for Trevor Morehouse.
Jason, just show yourself so we can get this over with.
Relax, it's only me.
You loser, you scared the shit out of me.
Would there be anything to these Trevor Morehouse stories?
Somebody help me!
Oh, great. Why don't you just paste a sign on my back that says, please kill next.
Jason is back, hockey mask and all. He's up to his old maniacal tricks in Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. This time, he seems to have set his sights on the young patients at a secluded halfway... Wait. Sorry, guys. Wrong movie. My bad. Here. Ah, okay. Much better. Bloody Murder. The terrifying legend of Trevor Morehouse, a masked figure who wields a chainsaw instead of a left hand, is behind this frightening game of hide-and-seek played on the first night of camp every year. But this year, an underlying sense of terror is lurking in the minds of the campers and counselors, and thrills by a campfire soon turn into the counselors' worst nightmares as they begin to disappear one by one. Blood-curdling screams and the roar of a chainsaw are the only sounds in the isolated woods, and the remaining counselors must scramble to solve the mystery before becoming the killer's next victim. Oh, guys, I'm so happy. Bloody Murder, the podcast review, finally here. I words can't describe how happy I am. I only had to, you know, give you fucking money in order for you to finally do this. That's kind of sad, but regardless, here it is. People always wonder why I love this piece of shit movie so much. They're like, how can one guy love it so much that he has bought 6 or 7 different versions of it from Germany, France, the United Kingdom, everywhere. Well, it's a long story, but I'll make it a short one. Ha! Get it, because penis joke. Anyway, when I was a kid, we randomly, on vacation somewhere, went into this video store, and I saw a hockey mask and a chainsaw on the cover of a VHS. You remember what those are, kids? Yeah. Fuck off. Anyway, and I was just intrigued by how blatant of a ripoff of Friday the 13th it was, but I was also just taken by how genius it really was, too, because there is a common misconception that people who have never seen a Friday the 13th film in their lives think that Jason has used a chainsaw, which he has never has happened. He's had a chainsaw used against him as well as Roy Burns in Part 5, but he has never actually used a chainsaw. Closest thing he had was the weed whacker type thing and the New Blood, but I don't know. So really, when everybody is talking about Friday the 13th and Jason using the chainsaw, the movie they're actually talking about is Bloody Fucking Murder. And that's just genius. So, when I saw it, we weren't from around there. It wasn't for sale, so the VHS, I couldn't rent it. I could only look at it. And then I never saw another copy again until I was older and I could actually buy it online for myself. And when I did, I had also been reading reviews. There was a full retrospective online back in the day that pretty much talked about every single second of the movie. So I had pretty much played out the movie in my head already a million times before I'd actually seen it, you know? So then when I just actually saw it for real, it was just mind-blowingly amazing. Just every frame of it, the dialogue, like, what, you're gonna punch me in the stomach? And which, I don't think anybody gets punched in the stomach at all or ever threatens to punch anybody in the stomach, so why she says that, I don't know. Oh, God, but, guys, it's so good. And don't let, I mean, because they tell the tale on the back of the case here and say that he has a chainsaw for one hand. And let's face it, that's a lie, because that would have been amazing. So that would be like Jason meets Ash or from Evil Dead or something. But instead, it's just, in every scene, it's a different guy playing the killer, Trevor Morehouse. Best name for a killer ever, by the way. And so sometimes it's a man, sometimes it's a woman. So every scene that shows the killer, he's bumbling around drunk, or he's running, or he's waddling, or having his period. I mean, it's just weird how inconsistent every second of this movie is, but I can't help but love it. So that's pretty much my history with it. You guys will probably cover the rest, and what can you not... I mean, what more can you say about this amazing, amazing piece of shit art? Piece of art. And so, I want to know what you guys thought of it and how much you love me for making you watch it. So, Joseph, go ahead and tell me your thoughts on Bloody Murder.
Well, I think he's pretty much wrapped it up. What would you guys think?
I think he's covered anything I would have said.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, no, I haven't really got anything else to add. So, thanks for listening, and we'll play out now with... Is this the theme to Bloody Murder?
Yes, the end credits theme.
Okay, oh, okay. All right, see you next time. Thanks,
bye.
Only kidding, of course. I'm sure we have plenty to say. Well, at least another 5 minutes worth, don't we? Joseph, do you want to go first?
Okay, David, BTK, I watched Bloody Murder again for you. I picked it for you. I guess it's no secret that I used to really, really hate this movie, but watching it again recently, it's not terrible. I just think the cardinal sin that it commits is that it's just so flat and it's not very eventful. I mean, it's certainly, you know, well made enough. I mean, I can't really say anything bad about how it's put together because there's some talent behind this the scenes and such like that. But I don't know. My problem is that I don't really identify with anyone. I mean, I couldn't tell you anyone's name. Everyone kind of looks the same. It's for a movie called Bloody Murder. It's kind of bloodless. Some of the stuff I did like. I liked the constant Jason jokes, and I guess some of the flat acting was kind of, you know, humorous. I think that the funniest part for me is the constant voiceovers. Like every time someone's looking at a computer screen or reading a note, it's like they have this like voiceover in monotone, like a guy or a girl. It's like, "Julie, I went for a swim. Come join me." It's like it's for the vision impaired or something. So in case they're, you know, if they're listening to the movie, they want to know what's being said on the notes. But
I think the whole movie is for the vision impaired.
Yes. I also like the scene with the sheriff is interrogating one of the kids, and he gives this huge like narration about how so and so couldn't have been the killer, or so and so could have been the killer because he went into the pantry and he started mopping up the blood, and then he had time to sneak back into so and so. And I found that humorous, but yeah, Bloody Murder, I don't recommend it, but it's not as bad as I remember. It's actually, you know, it's decent for what it is. It may be a little too long. If you want to watch it one time, you could do a lot worse. But other than that, I'm going to say skip it. Mm. And let's move on to, I want to hear what Nathan's opinion has changed after all these years.
Well, I was like you. I also was not a huge fan. I think the problem was... Well,
what?
I meant like before, because I had in my head, this movie's called Bloody Murder. So when I rented it, and this was, God, I'm probably back when I was, I don't know, 15 or 16. Or when did this thing come out?
2000.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was 20. It's so long ago. Okay. But, you know, I just assumed that a movie called Bloody Murder was going to be filled with, like, gory death scenes. And what I got was something that probably could have been made for television, you know. And I like made-for-TV movies, but that's not what I was in the mood for when I watched it. So I was very upset, so I never watched it again. So this is my first time watching it since then. Yeah, I don't think it's technically a bad movie, and I actually got a lot of laughs out of it. So I will say I actually enjoyed it this time around just for how bad it is. You know, like Joseph said, the one guy who narrates everything like he's a cop, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Because, I mean, the girl goes missing, and it's like the friends automatically are like, oh, well, then she's dead. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the only explanation. Anytime somebody disappears, they must be dead. So, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what you'd normally get from a horror movie. Because normally somebody disappears, they make excuses, like an evil laugh, when the guy's gone for days, it seems like, and everybody keeps making excuses. He's probably in town. And this one, somebody goes missing for, I don't know, like 30 minutes, and oh, they must be murdered. And their boyfriend did it. I mean, he's my best friend, but yeah, he must have killed his girlfriend. That's the only explanation. And I love that they paint the one guy being such a nice guy, you know, Toby, that's his name. They paint him as being such a nice guy. And after the main girl's boyfriend gets arrested for murdering everybody, he walks up and he's like, so yeah, you want to go out with me? I mean, yeah, that's not exactly a nice guy. It almost reminded me of Evil Laugh again when he kept hitting on his friend's girlfriend constantly. I also love the fact that nobody knows where the people are, but the sheriff, I mean, they just arrest the character Jason, who's been missing for a little while. They just arrest him. I'm like, what are you arresting him for? I mean, you haven't found any bodies. You don't know what's going on. Like, and then they arrest him, and the sheriff's like, well, there'll be no more trouble at this camp anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, he's like, I'm going to have to hold you overnight. I'm like, for what? You're not going to read him his rights or anything?
No, it's not very good detective work, I'm afraid. And like Joseph said, I love the main, especially the main girl. She has such a monotone way of, you know, like everything she does is monotone. Even when she's like feared for her life, it's still like, you know, I mean, she still just kind of gives a whatever kind of vibe. I mean, you know, I just don't buy when she's afraid. It's just her monotone voice just gets louder. That's all. So, you know, I apologize to that actress, but I just thought that her character was so boring. Mm. But you know, I mean, like I said, I got a lot of fun out of this movie, and I understand where BTK is coming from. I love a lot of movies that everybody else hates. But to me, like, I can't hold this as high as, like, Pieces or Don't Go in the Woods or Nail Gun Massacre. To me, it's not quite outlandish enough to be, you know, that absurdly hilarious. To me, it's like an R.L. Stein novel that's really, like, hilarious, a bigger body count, basically. And I like R.L. Stein novels, so, of course, I actually like the movie this time around.
Okay. What about you, Justin?
Well, I did actually own the DVD, and I think I watched it once way, way back. And as a measure of quite how, well, kind of, I guess, bland the film is to me anyway, that I was, it's set at somewhere called Placid Pines. And I kept on, I was looking at the sign and thinking, well, if you rearrange the word pines and swap the I and E, you get penis. And I thought, so it's Placid Penis. And I thought, well, it's very close to Flaccid Penis. And I thought, it's a good kind of comparison with this film, really. It's kind of, basically, it's just all limp cock. There's a cock is good, but when it's limp, it's no good for anything. And so basically, it's got all the right...
It's good for doing a wee.
Well, it is, yes, all right, fair enough. But it's got all the right elements in so much that it's very difficult to fuck up a camp slasher, you know, a movie set at slasher movie set at camp, and it has all the right elements, you know, it has everything. It's basically remaking Friday the 13th. I mean, it's blatantly it's a rip off of Friday the 13th. The idea that these are all camp counselors who go to camp ahead of the camp opening. So essentially, it's the notion of Friday the 13th. It's got everything. It's got the lake, it's got people going out boating, it's got people joking around on the water, it's got all of these things, but it hasn't got any of the oomph of Friday the 13th. And I think this is the problem that, as Nathan was saying, a film called Bloody Murder, it has very little blood in it. And there's one character, when he gets his throat cut, it's the only, well, not the only film, but the only film that I haven't seen on TV where someone's throat's cut and no blood comes out of it. You just see a red slit on their throat, and they grab it, like trying to hold back this torrent of blood, but there's no blood coming out. So you have these kind of trickles of blood. It's almost polite, I kind of guess. Everything is very monotone, as you said. And the main woman who plays Julie, who I'm sure we'll hear about what she thinks about the film now, but everything, she's so flat that it's a kind of amateur dramatics. It's almost like a group of friends were persuaded by somebody to make a film they didn't really want to make over a summer. And that friend had a fair bit of money. They had a couple of $100,000, but they were there. They didn't really want to do it. So they were just kind of going through the motions. And that's what the film felt like. Let's not forget, this came out 4 years after Scream. So this was kind of at the height of all those Scream knockoffs, you know, all of the, Final Scream and Do You Want to Know a Secret? All these kind of low rent knockoffs of Scream. But it, although it had a few stabs at kind of humour and various things, like there was a couple of nice, you know, elements. You know, they were watching a film called Sleepover Camp Massacre 14, and had all the elements there. Had the camp, had the fat sheriff, all those things which should make for a good fun slasher movie, but they were just so bland TV, even beyond TV blandness through most of it. Admittedly, the film, I thought, did pick up at the end, at the last 15 minutes with the chase scenes and things like that. But it's very, very difficult, given those kind of classic elements of a camp slasher, to fuck that up too badly. You know, you would have to be monumentally untalented to fuck up it completely. So there's some fun to be had. And I, you know, there were things in there that kind of, you know, made me laugh. I liked when all the mannequins fell out the tree at the end, meant to be bodies, and they very clearly shot dummies if you freeze frame it. The other thing that kind of killed it for me is not forgetting the year 2000. We're at the end of the 90s, which is probably the blandest time of music in a lot of ways. And a lot of films had the really bland music. And this had that horrendous late 90s, early 2000s bland rock playing throughout it. That incidental music, which is, it's beyond boring and beyond, you know, kind of lift music. It's just really it's just barely there, and it's the kind of music I really, really hate. And that's all the way through this film, and it just kind of, I kind of guess, is the perfect soundtrack for it, because that's what the film is. It could have been really good fun if it had been campier or a bit zanier or a bit anything more. If it had been scarier, zanier, gorier, anything, it would have been better, and it probably would have been a fun film. But as it is, it just felt like somebody, you know, some rich kid tried to make a slasher movie, had no talent, and made it with a load of bored friends. So sorry, BTK, but I don't think you expected anything better.
Yeah, it's a good summary, I'd say. It's a great idea, executed just dull, like very dully. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. Eric.
Yeah, well, I hadn't even heard of Bloody Murder until it was suggested by BTK. So I went in, well, I went in with no expectations is probably the wrong thing to say, because I did read some reviews on the internet, which were kind of harsh, I thought. So I was surprised that it wasn't the complete and utter rubbish-a-thon I was expecting. That's not to say I thought it was brilliant, but I have seen plenty worse. And I know we were talking about Night of Horror on the last podcast, and you know that, I thought, is kind of the epitome of bad horror filmmaking. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you've summed it all up, I think, all three of you. The problem with Bloody Murder is that, well, the first problem with Bloody Murder is that I bought the bloody DVD for 99 pence on Amazon, and when it got arrived here, it was damaged. It would only play the first 45 minutes. So I had to use some precious of my, you know, my share ratio went plummeted as I downloaded the 1.5 gig file from the website that rhymes with Binamageddon.
Baby Jesus?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was like the time I remember Justin saying the Prom Night wouldn't play for him in his DVD player, and he was thinking it was maybe a sign. The Prom Night remake, I mean. Mm. Yeah, but I mean, the film is, it's just flat, as you say. I mean, the acting's really flat, especially that lead actress. And I'm just surprised that when I was looking through IMDb, she's the one that's gone on to have the biggest acting career of all of them, and she was the worst actress. But I mean, she's not Savage Water level bad, where it's funny. It's just her performance is just so boring and dull, and all the characters are boring and dull. And as you were saying, it has all the elements to be a really good slasher. You know, it borrows so heavily from Friday the 13th. I don't understand why it's just so dull. It's got the great summer camp location. It's got the hockey mask killer, not just a mask killer. It's got multiple red herrings. The spooky doom merchant, like Crazy Ralph. You know, everything's there, but it's just, as you say, it feels like an episode of an afternoon TV movie or TV series or something like that. The characters are just really uninteresting. You've got dialogue, like I think as Nathan probably said earlier, I can't remember if we were recording when he said it, but your toes are beautiful. That just yes. sums up how bad and uninteresting the dialogue is. I mean, the fallback usually for films like this is elaborate kill scenes, and again, as Justin was saying, none of that. A guy gets his throat cut, and you know, it just looks like a paper cut or a scratch across his neck. So you get no inventive effects to sort of make up for the lack of activity in the rest of the film. Although I thought the archery scene was good. There's one character who's setting up again, pilfering from the first Friday the 13th, he's setting up an archery range and he gets shot through the chest with an arrow, which I thought was kind of an interesting sequence. Certainly livened things up considerably. And the voiceovers I thought were kind of funny. And I love any film from that era with their antiquated internet shots, where it's just a really unrealistic portrayal of the internet with all these. Oh, it just looks really, it makes films look really dated whenever they cut to a shot of somebody using email or a web browser.
Especially with dial-up, wasn't it? That kind of...
Yeah. It was amazingly fast for something on dial-up as well, I thought, especially if you're out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole Trevor Morehouse thing. They set up this mythical killer and then don't really do anything with him. I mean, he's obviously set up to be kind of this red herring lingering in the background, but... And I suppose there is a scene at the end that maybe, you know, you could say pays off that plot thread. But I just thought the whole Trevor Morehouse thing was completely unnecessary to the plot as well. It's not the worst film I've ever seen, but I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I also, for my sins, watched Bloody Murder 2, which is available on YouTube, which is the exact same plot. But I think somebody had a word in their ear about upping the gore content, because there is a few gore scenes in there that make it slightly more tolerable. But yeah, bloody murder. I mean, I'm trying to think back. Is there a film we've covered that I've been less enthusiastic about? And I don't think there has, because, I mean, as bad as Crazy Fat Ethel Part 2 was, it was kind of, there was something kind of campy and fun about it as well. So, yeah, sorry, BTK.
You know, it's funny, Eric, that you mentioned the archery range scene where the guy gets shot with the arrows. Because I actually thought that scene was pretty good and he just drops dead. But what about later when the one guy gets shot with an arrow and he's holding all the balls and he like does the worst overacting ever? Yes. It's like, ugh, I mean, he just stumbles around.
And Justin was complaining about late 90s, early noughties music, whereas I hate... well, I agree with you, Justin, on that, but I also hate late 90s, early noughties hair. And that guy has that stupid late 90s hair that I can't stand, so I was delighted to see like what he got killed.
He's kind of like, they're like curtains, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's,
yes.
It's not a party at front and not a party at back, really, is it? It was just like, that was pretty bad hair. Well, actually, they all had pretty bad hair, didn't they, in that?
Mm.
Yeah.
I love the... There's two other scenes I was going to mention. One is the fact that after her boyfriend gets arrested and she's certain that he's murdered all her friends, she's still going to have fun at the camp. The next morning, runs that obstacle course. And then I love the rope like drops and she falls like a foot to the ground. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, are you okay?
Yeah, I love her line delivery. Sorry, her line delivery after she falls as well always stood out to me. She says something like, somebody asks her, are you okay? And she goes, I think so. Ouch.
Some of the stuff that just it's so dull. It's almost bordered on humorous. It's like when she's like, you got pretty toes. And she's like, well, thank you. And then they go into this long story about how she found it in Lebanon or some third world country. And she tells the story of how she started painting her toes, or she's smoking pot and they call them like Guam cigarettes or something. And then she goes into this story about how she picked up that habit. And they're like, oh, okay. And they're just kind of staring at each other. And they have these really long, monotonous stories, obviously to pad out the running time. So, yeah, that's another thing. This movie is entirely too long. I think this movie would have been halfway decent at like 50 minutes long, but it's like almost 100 minutes long. That's just too long, especially with all that padding.
I don't think the version I was watching wasn't 100 minutes. It was about 85, I think.
Well, mine was like 90-something.
Was it?
Oh, my God, you got extra.
Yeah. Good for you.
But the film does have about 15 different endings. It's like one person is declared the killer around the 55 minute mark, and it's like everything's tied up, and then oh no, there's another killer, or somebody else
finally
is actually,
reveal who the real killer is. You just don't really care anymore.
No.
At the end, her dad is standing on the dock and somebody barely, and I mean barely, taps him with the paddle and he falls into the lake like unconscious.
He falls into the lake unconscious and then floats there face down and then isn't dead. So how many people could be knocked unconscious into a lake, face down, floating, and then get out and go, oh, that was
inconvenient. And the killer punches Drew, the girl, in the face. And then the next time we see the killer, he says, oh, I killed her. What, by just punching her in the face? I mean, I know
it's
possible.
Quite an ego.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got the box here, the DVD box I picked up, and it says it's 1 hour 30 minutes. This one, and it was under the Scream Bloody Murder thing, and it says the special features are animated menu and chapter search.
Oh, that was really
that was
typical of back then.
Yeah, and it's full screen, and what it's got, they used to have these on the boxes of these to tell you that if you were deciding whether you watch this, and it's theme contents, horror, murder, chainsaws, bad language, frequent, sex, nudity, moderate, violence, frequent, strong. So completely untrue on most of those.
Misleading. Very misleading.
Very misleading, yeah.
That's just to get people to want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, I would have thought so.
The version I got from Baby Jesus Land was 1 hour 26 and 21 seconds.
Okay.
See, that's
well,
fair, 'cause I got mine from Baby Jesus as well, and it was 1 hour and 32 minutes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I doubt anyone sat through it to actually count the number of minutes there really was. They just made it up, didn't they? I would have thought. But IMDb, what does IMDb say that it's 88 minutes? So there's all that kind of slow down and speed up, isn't it, with PAL, NTSC and all that kind of stuff. So there may be something with that. But I mean, we've got BTK very kindly sent did some trivia for this. Did we want to do that? Have you got some more to say, or is it time for Eric's joke of the week, perhaps?
Let's do Eric's joke of the week.
Okay. Well, it's very good this week. Why is the killer in Bloody Murder so absolutely nutty?
I don't know.
Because he's Nelson Almond. I just don't
I'm
think
sorry,
you got
Eric,
the joke.
I really didn't. I don't know who Nelson Almond is.
Now, Nelson Hammond is the name of the killer, spoiler alert. Which
okay.
sounds like Nelson Almond, which is a nut. And that's why he's so nutty.
I didn't know that was a nut.
Yeah.
What, an almond?
No.
You didn't know nuts were almonds were a nut?
Yeah, but I thought he's talking like Nelson Almond, like the nut's called an Nelson Almond.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
isn't fine. Technically almond is not a nut, or is that like a pistachio or...
I thought almonds were nuts.
Yeah, that's how great yeah. Bloody Murder is that we're segueing into nut
nuts. Yeah. Let's talk about Justin's nuts.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that, Eric?
Well, no, because you made almond feta or something, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, ground almond feta. Mm. Yes.
That's what I meant. Why were you thinking about something rude?
Well, I don't know, Eric. I know where your mind usually is.
Justin, before you play that clip from BTK, can you give us the recipe for that?
Do you want to? Well, actually, now you say
now we're trying to pad out time. This is like the nails sequence in Bloody Murder.
It's about 145 grams of ground almonds, some half a cup of lemon juice, half a cup of water, some garlic, salt, and I think that's pretty much it. And then you bake it for 40 minutes. So there
now
you go.
I'm hungry, actually.
That's very nice, but. But yes, if you want the recipe, just drop us a line. Okay, well, shall we play some background?
Yes.
BTK. And this is, BTK very kindly gave us some trivia. So here you are.
Bloody Murder was released on my birthday, September 12th, the year 2000. Another reason why I love it so much. In the UK, it's known as Scream Bloody Murder. In the U.S., it's just Bloody Murder. Bloody Murder 2, overseas, is known as Halloween Camp. And then there was another movie called Adam and Evil that has nothing to do with any of those. That overseas is called Halloween Camp 2. So it's a sequel to Bloody Murder 2, but neither of them have anything to do with Scream Bloody Murder, the first one. And then there's a movie called The Graveyard... that is a spin-off, I guess. It makes no mention of anything in the movies at all. It just happens to take place at the same camp. They say Camp Crystal Pines, the same camp. So that's just weird, like, why they would do that from that movie, of all things. And then there's another movie called The Butcher, which there's about 500 movies called The Butcher, but there's one in the 2000s that was supposedly supposed to be... another Bloody Murder spinoff or a sequel or something, but that ended up not happening. Let's see. Jessica Morris, who plays Julie Jules in the movie, in an interview for One Life to Live, which she was on, she pretty much straight out said that she hated Bloody Murder and just talked nothing but bad stuff about it. Why she would do that, I have no idea. But let's see what great things she went on to star in after Bloody Murder. IMDb says she was in such great hits after Bloody Murder as Bloody Bobby, 666 Devilish Charm, Santa's Summer House, Real Evil, The Dead Want Women, Boy Toy... El Mariachi Leprechaun in 2010, and a whole bunch of terrible, terrible things. So where she gets off talking bad about Bloody Murder, I don't know, because she didn't go on to do anything at all after that, so good going there. The director, Ralph E. Portillo, Tortilla, number 5 with nacho cheese. I don't know how to pronounce it. He also directed the not-as-good movie Fever Lake, which the movie they are watching in Bloody Murder is actually Fever Lake, and then they retitled it. So there's a piece of trivia for you, that awesome piece of shit with Mario Lopez in it. And he ended up doing another movie with Mario Lopez. Why? I just don't know. Like I said before, a different person played Trevor in every scene. When Julie is typing to her dad on the computer, what she's reading out loud and what is actually on the screen is never the same. Shot after shot, it's something completely different. So not only does she talk bad about Bloody Murder, but she can't even read properly off of a computer screen. So take that for what you will. I think that's about it. So, yeah. That's your trivia. Have a good one. This is BTK. I love you, Joseph. God, you're sexy.
Woohoo!
Ooh.
Yeah.
Joseph's got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Sitting in a tree.
Yeah.
RIMMING.
Well, I have met BTK, and we did rim once, but
okay. All right. Well, what's a little rimming between friends?
Yeah. Just to follow up on Fever Lake, do you know who stars in Fever Lake?
Corey
Haim.
Yes.
Well,
it's one of the few Corey films I didn't get a chance to watch. So,
see, now I think Bloody Murder is a million times better than Fever Lake.
Ouch. As Jessica would say, whatever her name is.
Yeah. Fever Lake is terrible.
What, more enjoyable or just even worse in all ways?
Well, Bloody Murder, it makes Bloody Murder look like Psycho.
Wow, that's some recommendation.
I'm intrigued to see his latest, his most recent opus, which is called Angels Love Donuts.
Do you, yes. Eric?
Do I love donuts?
Well, you're an angel, so don't you?
I am. I do. Oh, I do. I do.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Don't.
So, I am an angel.
Well, do we have any other trivia?
Well, I think BTK mentioned, I think he said Camp Crystal Pines. You'd think you'd think someone who's so obsessed with Bloody Murder would get the name right.
Well, you would have thought so.
It's Camp Flaccid Penis.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Do you have anything else, Eric?
No. The only piece of trivia I could find really was that the main actress completely dissed the film, and that the film within the film was Fever Lake.
Okay.
You know, starring Corey Haim. I have to say though that regardless of how, you know, I feel about a movie or how anybody feels about a movie, it always annoys me when an actor from that film disses it. You know, like I did not like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake at all. But when I learned that the actress that played Nancy, like, just basically, like, crapped all over it, like, I just thought that's so unprofessional. Mm. And, you know.
She started getting all this Oscar talk, and then suddenly she's like, oh, she's above something like that.
Yeah. Well, what made me, like, the most upset about her is that she said something like, I didn't even really want the part, but I took it anyway. And I'm like, do you know how many actresses would have killed to have that role? And like to go to somebody that ungrateful, like, I mean, geez.
This is what Justin's going to be like when he's doing his commentaries. Oh. He'll be like totally disowning the Hysteria Continues.
I've already done loads of commentaries anyway, Eric. So
sorry,
I said I've already done loads of commentaries. I haven't, you know, I'm still talking to little people like you.
How dare you speak to me in this
little?
That's true.
Hey,
you don't mean that in the pejorative sense.
Sorry,
he doesn't mean that in the pejorative sense. By the way, Eric, do you have a shopping trolley full of chunky Kit Kats right now?
Not in my bedroom. That would just be absurd. I just have a big bucket.
Now, if you actually saw a shopping trolley full of chunky Kit Kats and it was just sitting there for the taking, would you take it?
Well, I don't want to get myself in trouble with the law, but yeah.
Well, no, if it was just like it says free chunky Kit Kat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, Eric, are you saying you've got a big bucket?
Oh, you're so evil.
What?
So evil.
By the way, we're padding out the running time.
We are padding out the running time.
I have a joke. It's a similar to an Eric joke, except it's not horror related.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You get ready for tumbleweed, I'm sure. I heard this on the radio the other day, so I had to share it. Okay, so a guy's getting ready to leave his home one day when he hears something at his door, and he opens it up, and it's a snail at his door. So he's like, what is this? So he grabs a snail and just throws it, like, across the yard. Okay, so 3 years later, he hears something at the door again, and he goes and opens it up, and it's the snail. And the snail says, what the hell was that about?
Oh, dear.
I didn't get it.
Because it took the snail 3 years to get back to his door.
I see.
Because so slow.
I'll give you this sound clip.
Oh, no, no, I wouldn't dream of letting a lady anywhere near my marbles. Now, haven't you got a strong, capable young man?
So, a little something extra for the weekend. Yeah.
Actually, I have a really good joke for you for padding out the running time.
Go on, then.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to the other side.
Here's another little clip for you.
You can see what the trouble is, can't you? It needs a screw.
Oh, does it?
Oh, yes. A very long screw.
Ooh, saucy.
Saucy, yes.
You're the only one that hasn't told a joke, so you need to tell one.
Oh. Well, he has to have a sense of humor first.
Ha!
Ha, ha, ha.
In your face, Justin.
The only one I can think of is a joke I made up when I was a kid. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this little bird goes into little bird is flying, and it flies into a window, and as it flies into a window, someone's shutting, just like in Bloody Murder, they shut the cold kind of storage bit, and the bird gets trapped in there for about half an hour, and he's shivering, and he's really thinking, oh my God, I'm going to freeze to death. But luckily, someone opens the door, and he flies out, and he thinks, well, what I need is a drink. I need a stiff drink. So he goes to a bar, and he goes into the bar, and the barman says, can I have a vodka martini, please? And the barman says, sorry, we don't serve children here.
Very good. I like that one.
Thank you.
Children, that's clever.
Just give myself a little bit of that. But, okay, anyway, let's try and get back on track. We're almost over the hour mark, so although we're padding stuff out, so... I do have a little bit of trivia, actually, that no one else has got. One of the things is that Scream Bloody Murder or Bloody Murder has 2.9 on the on IMDb score. What else did I find? The person who played Patrick Kavanagh, who was actually the killer in the movie, so spoiling that. It's basically, if you can imagine, what was his name in, I can't remember his name now, the character, the head counsellor in Friday the 13th.
Steve Christie.
Steve Christie. It turns out that the Steve Christie character is this kid that ended up in the Carpenter Institute. So again, this kind of punning thing, but he's a killer. But he's done a film recently in 2013 called the... he played Toby. Which one was Toby?
Toby was the
Patrick Kavanagh.
The jokey one.
Okay, yeah, so...
He was the one who wanted to hook up with Julie.
Okay, well, he was in a short film called The Sad Slasher. And the synopsis of that is a short movie, and it says, "The sad slasher likes to murder attractive couples while they're having sex. Murder is the easy part. It's getting them in the mood for sex that's difficult." So who knows what that's... But it sounds like an interesting premise. So he's still doing a bit. Now, a little... Did you know that the guy who played Deputy Billy... I'm not sure if that was the fat sheriff or not. But anyway, the Deputy Billy... I saw rumours that he was Brian Messing, and he's supposed to be Deborah Messing's father.
Really?
Who was in Will and Grace. So there he goes. Some of the taglines that the film has. Have you ever played the game Bloody Murder? What a fantastic tagline that is. they thought it was only a game. Want to play. Can't hide. Can't run. Which is very true when you end up watching this movie. Ready or not, here he comes. Which Eric hears most evenings, I imagine. And
it's true, but it's rude of you to say it.
Yeah, thank you. And death comes ripping. I'm not quite sure what that means, but
that's not even grammatically correct, is it?
No. But it was on IMDb, so it might not actually mean anything. But the last couple of bits was that Bloody Murder apparently, allegedly, sold over 600,000 copies on video and DVD in its first 2 years.
How many of those to BTK?
Well, exactly. You have to ask yourself that. The same writer wrote this and A Bloody Murder 2, Closing Camp, John R. Stevenson. And the last bit of trivia that I have is that from Variety, Haddity had mention of this film and said that the filming had completed, and the date they put completed was February 21st, 2000. Now, to my mind, it looked like it was summer or maybe fall, early fall time. So probably the film was probably made in summer 1999, I imagine, but I don't know. So that's all we've got on Bloody Murder, unless we've got.
Well, if you go to the IMDb before watching this, it will spoil it because Peter Guillemette, or however you pronounce his name, plays Patrick, who is the killer, which we always spoil it. But it says Patrick / Nelson Hammond, and they talk about Nelson Hammond being the murderer in the film. So if you go there first, you're going to get spoiled.
Nelson Hammond is nutty.
Yeah.
Yes, the hilarity continues.
Yeah. You know, it's sad. He was probably the best actor in the film. He didn't do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think after you've been in Bloody Murder, there's nowhere left to go, really, is there?
Yeah, you've peaked. Yeah.
Only go down. You can only go down.
Now, it's really quite easy. You just take a piece and stick it in a hole. Now, I'm sure you can do that, can't you?
So, right. Well, thank you, BTK, for choosing that. It has been an experience for us all. And I said, as I said earlier, we don't know whether we will recover. But once you've seen Bloody Murder, there's no unseeing it. So that's probably the best we can say about it. So I hope you enjoyed our retrospective and you think your money is well spent, unlike ours, buying the film. should we go on to some feedback? Do we have any feedback?
I have one.
Okay.
It's from, Eduardo Victoria, and he writes in and says, "Dear guys, hysteria continues. I've written to you all once before and am happy to be corresponding with the lot of you again. The podcasts are top-notch, the analysis is brilliant, and the banter between the four of you is fantastic. I'm writing now due to a comment in the last podcast, the Sleepless episode. The Hannibal TV series was briefly touched upon, and each of you said that you hadn't seen the show. I can't recommend it enough. The series is dark, brooding, extremely well acted, and the gore is absolutely intense for network TV. Episode 2 of the second season showed a man whose limbs had been adhered together with resin tearing his flesh apart to escape his captor. The serial killers that Will Graham and the team at the FBI pursue are very well created and extremely original compared to anything I've seen on TV. This show is definitely worth a view. Season 1 is available on Amazon Instant Stream and Hulu. Season 2 is currently airing on TV here in the States on NBC. It's a shame that the show isn't doing better in ratings. From what I understand, the reason NBC decided to renew the show for a second season is because of the fan response only, critical acclaim, and high DVR numbers. Brian Fuller, the series showrunner, said the episodes are about $1 million cheaper to produce than the average network TV show budget, another factor in the renewal of a second season of Hannibal. Again, thank you all for the amazing work on The Hysteria Continues, and as a major horror and specifically Hannibal Lecter fan, I hope that you'll all check out the show. Sincerely, Eduardo Victoria." And I'm beginning to wonder if he's some kind of PR guy behind the show.
Well, thank you, Eduardo, for writing in. Because I don't think we've got any other feedback, have we? We had a whole cascade of feedback last time, but we've got anything else, have we?
No.
No. Well, anything?
Sorry, did we ever find out who? Oh no, we did. BTK. It was the previous week. We didn't know who had nominated Sleepless, was it?
Yes. Did we ever find that out, Joseph?
No, and no one's ever written in, so I still don't know.
No one's owned up.
Well,
if you're out there,
And still
we'll
listening.
Give you a shout out. So
yes, if you write in, and Eric will do a special joke for you.
Yeah,
won't you, Eric?
I will, because I'm really good. I'm getting really good at it now, as you can tell.
You are getting very, very. Let's play. I'll tell you what. Let's play the contact details. So this is how to get in touch with the show.
Be sure to search for and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at THC_podcast. Our voicemail is 858-233-9281. And you can email us directly at the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com.
Yes, so get in contact. And this probably will be the shortest show we have done, maybe ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about Bloody Murder.
Bloody Murder.
But,
yeah.
But we've had fun talking about it, haven't we? Yeah. I hope you've had fun listening.
Yes.
And we are still continuing with listener picks. So next time, do we have Nathan? Is it your choice, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
What have you
and
chosen?
We're all going to be on a houseboat for Houseboat Horror.
God.
One of the most terrifying, horrifying films ever made.
Yes, it is.
It's not so much a step up or a step down. It's a sideways step, really, isn't it, from Bloody Murder to House of
Horror.
It's
like a tango back and forth, back and forth.
Yes. So, if you're in the mood for some bad Australian horror...
Shot on video horror.
Shot on video horror. With members of Neighbours but having their heads cleaved apart, then join us for, you know, go down with the Hysteria Continues crew. So, have we got anything else left to say?
I don't think so. Bloody Murder is so terrific. Thank you, BTK.
I love BTK. Bloody Murder. Ouch. Yes.
Eric, do you have any of those Guam cigarettes?
No, but have a look at my nails. They're really nice.
Your toes
are beautiful.
Your fingers and toes, they're so beautiful.
Yeah, well, let me tell you how they got so beautiful. Et cetera, et cetera.
So, okay, right. Well, we're going to play out with... what are we playing out with, Joseph?
This is just... Well, I didn't want to put any of that music you loved in there, Justin. So this is just the incidental credits music.
Okay, right. Well, I'm sorry we're over so quickly. Next time we'll try and last a little bit longer.
Yeah, we're like Glazer in The Burning.
We are, yes.
We forgot our lubricated rubbers.
Yeah.
But, thanks for listening, and see you next time on The Hysteria Continues. So take care and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
American football's like a load of Muscle Marys in armor.
Is Joseph on the line at all?
No,
he's not.
Okay, I didn't think he was.
Yeah. He has... Fuck, shit.
I'm on mine if you want to do that to me, but it doesn't bother me.
So, yeah, Justin's alcohol habit. Did you see his shopping trolley this morning?